Okay, good afternoon. I hereby call the March 17, 2025 Desert Community Energy meeting to order. It is 3:01 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
City of Palm Springs,
Here.
City of Palm Desert. Here, Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, are there any modifications or adjustments to the agenda?
There are not.
Okay, do we have any public comment?
Yes, Chair. I did email both yourself and Dr. Chavez an email public comment from Brad Anderson, and I've also put one on your list.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any board member or executive director comments?
I've got a couple, but I defer to the two of you, of course. I've got a couple of slides, and Vice Chair Chavez, I know you didn't get a chance to come out to our little ceremony out there at TerraGen. So I've got a couple of photos here. Let's see. There we go. And you'll see former Chair Lisa Middleton with Mayor DeHart, and of course, incoming Chair Bernstein. Went out there, answered a few questions from the press, and celebrated another success for DCE, and that's securing some long-term and stable supply from a source right in the city of Palm Springs. And of course, that's TerraGen's wind generating facilities. We did acknowledge the previous chair, Lisa Middleton. It was great to see her again, and we did provide these plaques to both Miss Middleton. We also have two other plaques for Savvy Jonathan, who I still haven't reached out to give it to him. And we have one for, of course, Jeff Course. All were very important to not only this acquisition, but the previous acquisition, where we secured other long-term supplies. The other thing I'd like to do is acknowledge, oh, there's a couple other photos. Have you be introduced to our new director of our energy and sustainability department. That's Lisa McNeely. Lisa comes to us from Scottsdale and Baltimore. Most recently Scottsdale, and she's been on board now for 2 months. And so you'll see Lisa much more often here probably than even me, but I did want to come here and be here for your newest chair's first meeting. With that, I have no other announcements.
Okay, but I'd also just like to extend my welcome to you. And also just want to thank Lisa Middleton and also David Friedman for their work on all of this. It's some big shoes to follow, but I will do it. And it was great having my first official event was at the Terra Nova unveiling. And so that was quite exciting to see our fourth project within the city of Palm Springs come to fruition. So thank you all, staff, for that.
I'm just so sorry I missed the event. I planned to be there, but seeing those stairs, I was probably safer at home.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. Are there any requests to change or amend anything? I will just point out on 6C, my name is spelled incorrectly. So for the signature part.
Our apologies, Chair. We'll make sure that is
It's spelled correctly everywhere else.
One place that's probably most important to spell it correctly. We didn't do it. We'll make sure that's changed and reissue it.
Okay. And are there any items I'll go over here?
So we will need an action on the consent calendar.
Okay. All right. Motion.
Do I need it? I'll move that Mr. Bernstein be selected as chair.
On the consent, we'll do consent calendar first.
I thought we had already done that, but yes. Move approval of the consent calendar.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent calendar is approved. Okay, next is the election of a DCE chair.
Well, I don't think I need to give a staff report.
My apologies.
Okay, I second your motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you for that. And next is the fiscal year 2024-25 budget amendment.
Thank you and congratulations, Chair Bernstein, on being elected Chair of Desert Community Energy. And I'm here to present, as you mentioned, the budget amendment for this year. And just a reminder, it runs through June 30th, 2025. And if you took a quick peek at the staff report and proposed an amendment, as well as some of the informational financial statements in the agenda packet, you'll notice that DCE has really entered a transitional year after coming off two very strong years. So let's jump into it here. Development of DCE's annual budget begins in the spring of each year. In fact, right now we're working on fiscal year 26 budget inputs. But in the power business, especially for a smaller load-serving entity like DCE, who's still working to procure more and more of those contracts like you were out at Terrigen, economic conditions can vary greatly from 6 months to a year to almost 18 months we're out now. So this year, those facts have changed somewhat drastically, with revenues projected to decline and expenses expected to increase. So that's allowing us to reevaluate our budget setting process and making sure that we're covering our fixed costs. So let's dive into some of the details of the changes. Net retail revenue was originally budgeted at $76 million, and the amended budget demonstrates a 13% drop to approximately $66 million that we're going to collect through June 30th. Nonetheless, let's kind of look at a little bit of why this decrease is happening from the original budget. And we talk a lot about internal and external factors when I'm presenting budget items. So I just wanted to point out that the majority of these changes are all related to external factors, mostly outside of DCE's control. There's one major one I'm going to talk about, but first I wanted to mention two minor ones that have to do with certain periods of milder weather, which affects usage and the amount of load that we serve. And then another minor item was increase behind the meter solar, which eats into a little bit of our revenues that we generate on the on our bills. But the major external item was that during the budget development in the spring of 2024, DCE's major competitor, that's Southern California Edison, they made filings with the CPUC that actually proposed rate increases of about 11% based on the then in effect concepts of the rate stabilization schedule. DCE budgeted rates accordingly. However, SCE pulled a 180 because of previous overcollection on their accounts. And when final figures were established a few months ago, they demonstrated actual 9% decreases in rates. And to remain competitive and again in line with our current rate stabilization schedule, DCE acted in kind with a few small rate decreases. So that was the biggest driver. And as you can imagine, that's a difficult way to manage a business. So I just thought it'd be fun to think about an example. Like, imagine that you own a retail store on Palm Canyon, celebrating the lifestyle of Palm Springs with high quality products, maybe not too dissimilar to that what DCE offers in its carbon-free product. And say last year you decided to launch a new mid-century modern Lego set. And instead of pricing it based on your own costs, you decided to market slightly above a knockoff competitor down the street. And then a couple months later, that competitor decided they wanted to offer an extended discount. And, you know, the question is, would you want to drop your prices because of that store, you know, and how much they needed to recover in their cost? I would think probably not, right? So in this way, I just wanted to relate the budget amendment to the necessity, in my opinion, to approve Agenda Item 7C, which you'll hear after me, because it really only makes business sense for DCE to be setting its own rates on its own revenue requirements in order to recuperate the appropriate costs it needs to serve DCE customers its load. Of course, you always have to monitor your competitor and make adjustments where appropriate. That was a big point I wanted to make here. And I just wanted to add to that that this over-collection trigger for SCE, it's expected to expire in September of 2025. And while your guess is only as good as mine as to what rates are going to do on their end after that, I'm sure you've heard the news coming out of our neighboring LA County and the numerous lawsuits against Edison. So, you know, the question really becomes, do we want to continue to ride SCE's cost recovery model or focus on recovering our own costs? And speaking of costs, I wanted to jump into what happened with that between the original budget of about $45 million projected, and now that's increased to $63 million, representing about a 40%. And again, let's look at why. And this was, again, mostly all external factors. Resource adequacy, capacity, in other words, has become more and more expensive thanks to CPC, CPUC regulations, and that's the Public Utilities Commission, if anyone's listening and didn't know that. And other increases in cost really relate to renewable energy. And those products needed to meet a DCE's ambitious carbon-free product mission and to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions, which we saw very high energy prices for those type of certificates. In fact, some of these costs procured by DCE increased up to 72% from originally filed forecasts, and other costs increased 152% from these originally filed forecasts. And I want to specify, these aren't forecasts that our team's making. These are actually forecasts that are being filed with the Public Utilities Commission. And the shock has been real for staff. In fact, you can see my emoji aged about 10 years in the past few months. But all joking aside, things like this do happen in the power business. And I think Vice Chair Chavez can affirm that we haven't really had to have one of these conversations in a couple of years. So we're monitoring it, and that's why we're here. And there might be some good news on the horizon, as there is indication that some of these costs have reached peaks. And we've talked a lot about the external, so it is only fair to jump into some of the internal factors. And wanted to point out that our internal operational costs, which maybe we have slightly more control over, were budgeted at around $2 million originally, and we actually were able to work things and amend the budget to get that closer to $1.5 million, representing an over 20% decrease in the budget document before you. And that may not be much compared to some of those big power cost numbers, but every bit helps here. So I'm sure you're wondering, what does this all mean? And what it means is that we're proposing a budget amendment that's going to land DCE in the $3.75 million better position than it started the year with. That's going to happen through this budget amendment with no rate increase currently proposed. And it's going to allow DCE to meet the very minimum of fixed charge coverage requirements that S&P Global Ratings highlighted recently. And just Chair Bernstein, I know you weren't here back in August whenever they issued their rating, but we did get that investment grade rating from S&P as a BBB back in August. So, you know, that plays a big role into how we can negotiate those long-term stable prices. So it's very important to maintain. And just to put that in perspective, BBB is at the lower end of the investment grade scale. And S&P in their report, which is attached there, highlighted items that could cause them to upgrade or downgrade DCE's rating. So obviously we're looking for an upgrade, or at least to remain stable at the time being. And S&P said that DCE needs to establish a healthy track record of liquidity and a fixed charge coverage while maintaining low opt-out rates. So that's, you know, the difficult balance that we're always in here. It's we believe the budget amendment accomplishes this, and even at a minimum during this transitional year. Just wanted to outline the next few steps. Here we are amending the budget today. We'll be able to monitor this over the next few months and make any adjustments as necessary in the meantime to maintain that healthy track record of liquidity and fixed charge coverage. And then June, we'll have a fresh budget to finalize, and we'll focus on ensuring those health-keeping financial items as well. So that was the best way I could summarize what was in the packet. Happy to take your questions now. And the recommendations to approve the mid-year budget amendment.
Do you have any questions?
I do. I have a couple of questions, Claude. First of all, I totally get the amendments and why you have to do them. I'm curious, are there best practices for CCAs anywhere that could be followed as far as smoothing out the, differences? I feel like it's a chicken and the egg, but is there anything published with best practices from CCAs so you can smooth out the revenues? Because if I recall correctly, last budget mid-year, we had a pretty substantial increase in revenue. And so I'm just wondering, to make your life easier, is there something out there?
I would say the next item on the agenda is what accomplishes that for staff. And what we've heard, it's either you quote unquote can peg to the IOU, investor owned utility, which S&P doesn't like that. And I think that goes to the Lego example I was trying to give earlier. Or you can do a cost recovery method. And that is what we've seen as the most prudent thing for staff as well as for the business operations.
And let me add the other thing in addition to the rate stabilization work and our budget work is more long-term supply. And of our supply now, about 30%, even with the new TerraGen, is long-term. Well, that means 70% you're playing in the market. And that market has been incredibly volatile for as long as DCE has been around. There's been incredible volatility. So we could be up in 2 weeks' time, you could be up $20 million or down $20 million. And that is a tough place to be for our customers and certainly for the board to make decisions responsibly. So we're still working on increasing that long-term supply.
Yeah, that was kind of a chicken and egg analogy because I just thought, okay, which one triggers the other?
Yeah.
My other question is, with budget, if it's possible, if we could get like a 5 or 10 year projection of cash analysis, so we could see budget and just ideally what it looks like or what we can, as close to it as we can get, and then also below that, just the reserve and how it either builds or reduces over time. I'd like to see that with the budget.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Claude. Also, just the S&P rating was done before we had Terra Nova, so that was at 23%, but we're at 30%.
Yes, it was. That would have been before.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, we're at least moving in the right direction, but obviously it's still very volatile. And if we can, I agree, if we can sort of, I understand the regulation, we don't have to quite go by directly what the competitor does, it may make things a little bit smoother. But I would also point out that what we've seen with the costs is that there's a lot of uncertainty out there, a lot of uncertainty with weather that we just have to be prepared for that no matter what happens going forward. But I appreciate this. It's nice to see something. Maybe it's not as good as we expected. And we just obviously have to move forward consciously. Thank you.
Thank you. It is a voting item.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's it. I'm just going to prompt the vote.
I will move for approval of the budget meeting.
Okay. I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
My motion passes. As in, thank you. That's my Irish.
Thank you for the analogy, too.
You're
welcome. We're raising our prices, by the way.
No comment.
All right. We have Don Dane on for the rate stabilization schedule, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the next item is the rate stabilization schedule, and
you'd have him on.
Yes, he's here.
Is he there?
Don.
Yes, I am here. How's the audio coming through? Okay.
Great.
Okay, there's a staff report, please.
Okay. I can barely hear you. Let me see if I can change my audio here a little bit. No, should be. If you can hear me, okay, that's okay.
We could hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
Oh, okay, that was much better. Thank you, Tom. Good afternoon, Chair Bernstein and Member Chavez and the DCE staffers. The action item on the table right now is an amendment to Desert Community Energy's rate stabilization schedule. The spring stabilization schedule addresses four key aspects of DCE operations. It maintains revenues to cover costs and build necessary reserves. It provides and is a function of local control over rate structures. It acknowledges, as Chair Bernstein just indicated, that revenue forecasts can vary significantly based on weather and power market situation. And it does the key business aspect of assuring that we balance and meet revenues with costs. Next slide, please. Initially, the initial rate stabilization schedule was approved in November of 2020, and there was one amendment in June of 2023, which clarified a few aspects within the language embedded in the schedule, and also removed at board direction the carbon-free subsidy that was taking place for the Desert Saver product as a cost-conservative measure. Rate stabilization schedule allows for adjustment to DCE generation rates based on two potential changes. One is an energy cost adjustment, which addresses any unplanned issues in the wholesale power market. Heard Claude talk a little bit about increases in resource adequacy costs. Tom talked about the reliance of about 70% on open market purchases. None of those costs are locked in. At budget time, we make best estimates of what those are, but they will either be above or below those estimates, and DCE rates need to respond accordingly, again, to balance revenues and costs. Another aspect, which is only minimally affected by any DCE control, are actions by Southern California Edison and regulatory mandates that come out of the California Public Utilities Commission. So the rate stabilization schedule allows within described parameters for staff to adjust DCE generation rate based on any unanticipated changes up or down required to match revenues with energy costs and meet any mandated changes by the investor-owned utility or the Cal Public Utilities Commission. Next slide, please. The proposed amendment in the current draft version of the rate stabilization schedule separates the carbon-free product rate and revenues from SCE's bundled product. The amended stabilization schedule bases the carbon-free product on a small discount, not the carbon-free product, the Desert Saver product on a small discount from Southern California Edison's base product. And the carbon-free DCE's premium product was also based on SCE's rates. And what this amendment does is it ties DCE's carbon-free product rates to DCE's carbon-free product revenue requirements. And as Claude mentioned with the budget update, it assures that DCE's revenues aligned with budget and expected reserve building. It will ensure we meet the appropriate fixed charge ratios by the rating agencies as desired by the rating agencies. And it also assures that we meet our power market obligations and any regulatory mandates. Next slide, please. The guidelines that are included in the proposed amendment are twofold. One is it indicates that any changes that are made to DCE's carbon-free generation rate cannot exceed plus or minus 5% of the current generation rate. And because the generation rate comprises only about 40% of the total bill made by customer, the DCE generation rate is about 40% of the customer's bill. Southern California Edison's transportation charges are about 60% of the customer's bill. A plus or minus 5% generation rate change translates to approximately a 2.2% change in a customer's total bill, or up to a 2.2% total change for a customer bill. Next bullet, please. Desert Saver will continue to remain below SCE's bundle base rate product, and right now that is designed to be within 0 to 1% discount versus Southern California Edison's product, keeping that product as the lowest priced electricity product in the Palm Springs service territory. Any adjustments require risk management team review and approval before they can be implemented. Next bullet, there is one on this slide. And anything larger than a 5% requires us to come back to the board. And we also, anytime a change is made, there will be an information staff report transmitted to the board describing what happened, what the size of the adjustment was, and what the reasons for it were. Next slide, please. So the benefits of the RSS are the same as they were back in 2020. It's really prudent utility practice. Virtually all utilities, both private and public, of which I am aware of, have one form or another of rate stabilization schedule. Sometimes they call them an automatic energy cost adjustment. They have various names for them. Southern California, by way of comparison, has approximately 80 separate balancing accounts where it tracks all costs in up to 80 categories that change throughout its operating periods. And it collects additional monies in those balancing accounts, or returns additional monies in those balancing accounts, or from its customers accordingly. Again, it ensures rate stability and financial adequacy for timely adjustments to meet the DCE's financial obligations. It also protects DCE's investment quality credit rating. As you might imagine, rating agencies very much appreciate any organization's commitment to match costs and revenues in a timely manner. Next bullet. And again, it gives DCE flexibility to address these unplanned cost fluctuations. And it does maintain competitive rates for DCE customers on a cost of service basis. Next slide, please. One typo involved in the draft amendment, the rate stabilization schedule in item 2. Exhibit A, the word implement should be implemented, as you see in the slide before you right now. Recommendation from your consultant, DCE staff, is to adopt Resolution 2025-01, approving the amended rate stabilization schedule, be effective April 1, 2025. And including the typographical change as you saw in the previous slide. And I'll be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Questions?
Not at this time.
Okay, so just I have a couple. So the plus or minus 5%, what is the frequency with which that can occur?
What is the frequency of that? That was the question.
How often could you change it, plus or minus 5%?
The stabilization schedule allows changes no more frequently than monthly. On average, since the inception, it's been no more frequently than once, and occasionally twice annually. Well, it can change monthly if you're in an exceptionally volatile market period. Keep in mind that rates can go up or down. The anticipation is it will not be changed that often.
And the plan would remain that the debt saver would be still below the SCEs, or?
Yes. And Exhibit A and current policy and practice on part of DC is that the debt of Sabre will maintain its discount, small discount versus the SCE product. Keeping that as the lowest cost product in the Palm Springs service territory.
And of course, that's been a very important tenet of the program and been a part of this as long as DC has been around, and something that's certainly been strongly endorsed by the previous city councils, I suspect, would be if we brought it before them again.
Yes, yes. So the real change to this is just the carbon free is that we're able to do it plus or minus without necessarily tying into SCE.
It's really decoupling from the SCE rate linkage that was in the previous RSS, along with a couple of other less significant changes.
Okay, which also means if they increase theirs significantly, we don't have to.
Correct.
Just for clarity, your question was exactly what I was trying to wrap my head around, is how often we would be changing. Is it our intent to be responsive to?
Well, it sort of depends. And we referenced the Desert Saver as an example. It's been very clear, and if you look at DCE's website, you look at everything we've said, look at everything the city council has said, we really make certain that we are below Edison's rates. We have customers have that choice. Well, if that happened, if Edison happened to lower their rates, which they did recently, we try to get on that immediately. So there isn't, and sometimes we don't know what the actual rate is until it's actually implemented and shows up on bills. So there may be a period of a couple of weeks where some customers are paying a little bit more. But over the course of the year, the intent is that they don't. So if we have to change the DCE Desert Saver rate every month for 12 months, we would, in order to continue to provide customers here the lowest possible rate. On the other hand, on the carbon-free, as Don pointed out, on average, we might make two adjustments a year, and I don't think that would change. Maybe it's two or three, but it certainly wouldn't be monthly, but it could be under this policy. Does that make sense?
Yep. Any questions? Okay. No questions either.
This is for board action.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
I second it. All in favor? All right. Pass this.
Sleepy.
All right.
And the next items are just information only. You could certainly raise questions if you have any of staff, but they are for your and the public's information. On public comments on non-agenda items, if you're ready for that, do we have anybody calling in?
No raised hands online.
All right.
We have written now.
And those written comments were related to the agenda and a non-agenda item, I suppose, too. So you're right.
Any other announcements?
Just your next meeting in this same location, April 21st.
3 p.m. Okay. Everybody adjourn the meeting of the Desert Community Energy Board at 3:34 p.m. See you on April 21st.
Or at Root Party Park.
Or at Root Party Park.